You are listening to Inside Acting. To learn more and make a donation, please visit InsideActingPodcast.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Inside Acting. My name is Trevor Elgott.
And I'm Albert Meyer.
And this is a podcast where we interview actors, directors, writers, musicians, casting directors, managers, agents, anybody affiliated with an entertainment industry of some sort, and we bring those interviews to you.
So the idea is that as actors, as artists, we bring together our good ideas and collectively try to come up with the best ones and talk about them on the podcast. So to that end, we'd love to get your voice on the podcast as well, and you can do that by sending us an email or tweeting at us, and we'll talk about that more as the podcast goes on.
And we can do voicemails if you have the ability to send an MP3.
Yeah, we'd really love that. If you want to record yourself doing an MP3 and email that to us at insideactingpodcast@gmail.com, we can get your voice on the podcast as well.
Cool. So, welcome, guys. Episode 3. We hope you've enjoyed episodes 1 and 2. Any feedback, of course, we'd love to hear. We also just quickly before we started recording, we sent out a Twitter post. I think we both did. Just saying, you know, if you have questions, hit us up on Twitter for the next hour. We'll be recording. We're going to try and do this fairly regularly, meaning the time that we record fairly regularly.
Yeah, it looks like it might work out to be Monday night. We're trying to lock that down right now. But if you're out there and listening and you have questions or comments or you want to have us discuss something on the podcast, please let us know. And it'd be really cool if you were actually, you know, asking those questions as we were recording.
Yeah, cool. So all that said, we got a good good interview, I'm sorry, lined up for today with a guy named Brian Vermeer. He's founder of Performer Track. Well, actually, Holden Log is the parent company, and then Performer Track is one of their products. But it's a really good interview where he talks a lot about what actors can be doing on their own to really help move their careers forward as opposed to just feeling productive or feeling busy. He talks a lot about that in the interview. He talks about proactive versus productive, or maybe I'm getting that all wrong, but you'll hear it. But
you'll hear it in the interview, yeah.
Yeah, but before we go into that, Albert, what's going on with you this week?
Well, first of all, I want to just throw out some shout-outs, some thank yous to people.
Yeah.
One person in particular found us on Twitter. I think her first name is Danielle, who wrote our first review on iTunes, actually.
Yes, I saw that.
So thank you, Danielle. Really appreciate it. And thanks for following us. And she's also been retweeting our link to our page on iTunes. So that was very nice of her. So I definitely got to give her a shout out. Do you have any, did you get any feedback this week?
I don't
from episode 2?
I don't think I did. Well, we just posted episode 2 this morning, so I haven't heard anything on that one yet.
Gotcha.
But I got a couple great interviews lined up, so it's only going up from here.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what have we been up to? What have you been up to?
Well, not a ton, but I did do a really cool play reading last night, our ensemble.
Oh, yeah, and I attended, and
yes.
Trevor did an amazing job playing two characters in this play reading.
Yeah, it was very cool.
You're really good, man.
Thank you. It was very cool. It was a new play. It's a new, actually, kind of thing that our theater ensemble is doing at the Powerhouse Theater in Santa Monica. It's called Scriptyard, and every month we are...
it's the first Sunday of every month, right?
Yeah, the first Sunday of every month we're going to read a new play, a new original play from local playwrights and kind of use them for consideration in our upcoming seasons. And what's really cool about this, and this is a neat kind of lesson that just was kind of reinforced today, is I did that, you know, as soon as I saw the notice, I immediately responded and said, I want to be involved. And, you know, I went to the rehearsals and did the thing and made friends with everybody that was there. And just today I got another... I got a text message from the director saying, hey, you were really great. We want to bring you in for this one and this one. Can you do these two? So
wow.
It's kind of like one of those repeat customer kind of things. I mean, that's a weird way to put it, but I remember my theatrical agent said it really well when I first signed with him. I showed him my resume, and there's a couple films I've done with directors a couple times, so I have their names on there a couple times. And he said, hey, man, repeat business is a huge part of this industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really cool, you know, because we talked about last episode, just being a good person to work with. You know, that's a huge part of of success in any endeavor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, they will, call you back. They will call you in. I have, you know, a pretty good relationship with a couple of the, casting directors in town that still cast theater and musical theater, and they call me in all the time. So yeah, it's that repeat business. I like that. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's absolutely huge. But, that's really kind of it for me. right now I just got a lot of things cooking. My commercial agent, which we talked about last time. She's on Twitter at Diary of an Agent. She did this really cool thing where she started setting up these little, what we call power groups with other certain actors in the agencies. There are two power groups right now that consist of 9 or 10 actors each. And we meet weekly and kind of brainstorm, different ways that we can just kind of take our careers to the next level. And we've been meeting now for like 3 months, and some really, really fascinating stuff has come up. Like, people are just hatching plans left and right, and we're starting to put some of these plans into action, and they're really starting to pan out. There's some really cool stuff, which if you follow her on Twitter, Diary of an Agent, you'll start to hear about them. So what's going on with you?
I not much has changed since last episode, except for I got to give an update on the manager.
Yeah,
thing.
You had your manager meeting today.
Yeah, so last week, we talked about the fact that this manager came to see me in a show and really liked me and wanted to talk afterwards. And she sort of she had a client in the show and sort of pursued me through him, which, first of all, awesome vote of confidence. Just felt really good to have that even happening to begin with. But also, you know, really showed that she was interested. And so I was finally able to work out a meeting time with her. And that was today, right before we started recording, basically. I came straight home and after that. So I'm trying to think of some of the interesting takeaways from it. First of all, it's still a journey. So I'll have more to talk about with this later on. I think that it's really interesting. I follow a lot of casting directors and agents on Twitter, and one of them posted the other day that, you know, it can be a common misconception that that actors have when they say things like, I don't necessarily need a manager right now because I don't really have a career to manage, right? Like, mm-hmm. They feel as though they're not big enough, they haven't been cast in enough stuff, so they don't really need a manager. 15% can be a lot of take. For those of you who don't know, you know, agents typically take 10% of whatever you make, and managers take 15. So if you have both, it's a large chunk of change from whatever it is that you're making, about, you know, a quarter, right? 25%. Mm-hmm. But they feel like they don't have a career to manage. But the thing is, and we talked about this in the meeting today, you know, it could also mean having that meeting or having that representation can also mean the beginning of a career. It can also mean, you know, that this is how it's going to get started, is that you have another cheerleader in your corner, you know, somebody else who's really not only pitching for you, but also helping you make decisions about your career and sort of connecting the dots. You know, I was talking to her about, you know, I feel like I know all these people. Like, I have really great relationships with all of the theater people in town because of my relationship with the Los Angeles Theater Ensemble and my other places of work. Because of the places that I've worked, my sort of survival jobs, my day jobs, because of the places that I've worked, I've networked with a lot of different, you know, people, and nothing has ever really come of that, except, you know, I told that Manny Patinkin story in episode one. Mm-hmm. There's not been that much stuff that's been concrete. And so we were talking about that, and she was like, well, that's what I would do, is I would connect the dots, right, and sort of make sure that these weren't just these fleeting meetings, that the networking that you do and all the work that you're putting in, actually something happens, you know, parlaying it into some work or some type of stronger relationship. She's like, I've gone as far as with clients telling them who to send an email to, when to send that email, and what to write in it. And I just thought it was really interesting, because sometimes we feel like these islands just kind of floating around. We're not really sure. We think we're doing the right thing. And I even told this to her, you know, I said, I've been told by a lot of people, not just my agent, but casting directors in town, other people, that I'm doing the right stuff. I just need to keep at it and be persistent, you know? And I'm like, I would love to have another person to bounce those ideas off of. For instance, and this is a really interesting thing that I would love, love, love to hear people, respond to. If you listen to this, maybe we can talk about this in episode 4, but one of the things that she said was, she doesn't like when actors send casting directors thank you notes or thank you cards or postcards after they've had an audition with that casting director.
After an audition?
Mm-hmm.
Just an audition, not a booking.
Right, just an audition.
Uh-huh.
Or a callback or whatever. And I thought, oh, that's interesting because, you know, sometimes you hear the opposite of that. It's like,
yeah,
you want to get your face in front of them. You want to, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So the reasoning behind it was, she's like, that's their job.
Hmm.
And I never thought of it like that before. And whether you agree or disagree, she's right. I mean, you know, you could disagree and say, well, I still want to get my face in front of these casting directors and I still want to, you know, spend the money on the postcards and get them out there. That's fine. But she said, that's their job. Their job is to get actors in front of producers, in front of directors, yada, yada, yada. She's like, why are you thanking them for just doing what they're supposed to do? And, you know, there's something you should know about this person. She's like take no prisoners, her type of personality. Just so you all know, everybody's listening, she's very take no prisoners. She's very aggressive. She even admitted, she's like, sometimes I have no tact today in our meeting.
She said that to you straight up?
Yeah, straight up.
Cool.
So she's very honest and very straightforward. And she said, you know, I try to tell it like it is. And
that's a really good... I don't want to say whatever the opposite of a red flag is. I think that's a nice green flag for somebody that's like, yeah, I don't bullshit. Let's just get down to business.
Yes. And she kept saying that over and over. She's like, I don't bullshit. I don't bullshit you. And I'm not going to bullshit you. I think we are going to have, you know, a conversation and it's going to be an ongoing conversation. And there's going to be another meeting. She said, you know, I'm very interested and I want to have another meeting. She's going to Chicago. I guess she's going to see a show at Steppenwolf. And she said, we'll talk when I get back. So I will definitely keep you guys informed. There was a lot of other interesting stuff in this meeting, and I'm sure there's going to be more interesting stuff in a later meeting. And, you know, I'll keep you up to date and drop some of these interesting tidbits that I got from her into the podcast for sure.
My personal philosophy regarding managers is that the more people you have working for you, the better. You know, when I first came out here, I actually hooked up with a manager that I found via Craigslist, which I do not recommend. I don't recommend anybody find anybody on Craigslist, including roommates, as actually, by the way. But he's a great guy. I love him to death, but he wasn't terribly legitimate. He was just kind of like doing this solo. We never signed any paperwork or anything, but he did get me a couple meetings with some people, and his advice and kind of what he advised me to do was actually really priceless. Like when I came out here, I didn't know anything, you know, and mm-hmm. I got a meeting with this, at the time, this really kind of, you know, quote unquote hot commercial agent,
mm-hmm.
Who was actually very much a dick. And actually is kind of, I think, out of business now, probably because of that. But anyway, I went into the meeting with him and the manager, I was there with the manager and when we were done, he said like, good job. Like, I know you're new to this. So like this thing and this thing that you said might have worked against you, you know? And like he literally said like, I don't want to micromanage, but like the clothes you're wearing don't speak the best about you, like this and this and this. And I didn't, you know, I didn't have any money, so I wasn't very, very nice clothes. And I didn't really know how these things worked. So even though it was kind of like micromanaging, it was invaluable to me. And when I actually did have a manager later on, an actual like manager with an office and an email. When I did start booking gigs and I had to pay 10% to my agent and then 15% to her, it was rough, man.
Yeah.
But that said, like I said, the more people you have working for you, the better. I firmly believe that.
It's funny that you mentioned the clothes story though, because you just reminded me, I totally forgot about this. I actually had a meeting with a manager way early on when I was just graduating and I was sending out submissions, when I was submitting myself to agencies and managers. I had a meeting with a manager and, that was one of the things that she pointed out as well. When she was like, the clothes you're wearing are not very flattering for your body type and whatnot. And I was just like, oh, that's weird to think about, but I've never forgotten it. And it's not like I'm, you know, insecure or clothes conscious now. I mean, I'm probably the last person want to ask fashion advice. Yeah. But it's just, it's funny that we both got that same comment from an early meeting with a manager.
Well, you know, and that's interesting too, because I think that, you know, we're in a business where your appearance says so much about you, and so many actors out here put a lot of thought into that. But they're also, I also think that guys are notoriously not conscious of what they look like.
Well,
when
she did tell
clothes.
Me, I didn't want to mention this, but now you're making me. She did tell me I have to start working out like twice a day.
Twice a day.
She was like, are you in the best shape you could possibly be in your life? And I was like, no. And she said, why not?
Wow.
And I was just like, yeah, no, I mean, I get, and this is not, it wasn't like a surprise. You know, when she said it, I wasn't like, yeah, I wasn't taken aback. Like, oh my God, no one's ever said that to me. Like, I've been needing to sort of get on some kind of regimen for a long time. It's just really tough when we're working the survival job and stuff. But my schedule's finally starting to settle down where I've got it under control and I know where I'm going to be most of the time. And so, yeah, I'm going to definitely start making that happen. But it was just funny that...
Wait, this manager said that?
Yeah.
The one you met today said that?
Yes.
Dude, she doesn't fuck around.
Yes. That was like... It was like the second thing she said.
I was going to say, was it like the first thing she said when you walked in?
It was like the second thing. It was right after the whole, you were an undiscovered talent thing. She was like, you need to start working out. I was like...
You were an undiscovered talent and you're a wuss.
I was like, damn. All right, cool. Well, I can handle that. I can handle that. That's fine.
Wow.
That is fine. I will start working out, lady.
Damn, dude. Wow,
yeah.
That's cool.
It was cool. It was a good meeting.
I remember seeing her after your show. I saw you talking to her, and it's funny now to put a visual with this person who is so balls to the walls.
Yeah, because she's not. I don't want to give too much away because I don't want people to know who she is necessarily. But she's not the person. When you see her, she's not the person you would think that be speaking the way
yeah.
that she was to me.
Do you feel good about that? I mean, the things that you talked about today?
Yeah, because it's like you just said. It's like you don't want somebody bullshitting you.
Yeah.
You know, you want somebody blowing sunshine up your ass.
Which is so rare here. You get a lot of people blowing sunshine up your ass. A lot of people smiling while they stab you in the back. I hate to say the cliche is true.
Yeah, or the other thing is people who just don't talk to you at all. You know, who like you have conversations on the phone and they last, you know, 20 seconds and it's them just going, okay, all right, bye.
Uh-huh.
And then click and then boop. Like you don't, it's like, for me, maybe it's just because I'm a social person, but the fact that she talked a lot today, that's the other thing about the meeting. She talked a lot and it wasn't like it was just her, it wasn't fluff. It all meant something. Everything that she was saying had some weight to it or whatever you want to call it. It wasn't like a bunch of fluff, but she likes to talk. And I'm like, oh, thank God, somebody I can actually have a communication with. You know, I can actually talk to this. Anyway, so...
No, that's great.
That was... I thought that was another thing that I clued in on.
Yeah, I mean, at this point in the journey, she seems like somebody who's willing to work hard for you and who takes it seriously.
Yeah.
Well, it's a rare find.
Got that email, so...
Rare find. Yeah. Excited to hear where this goes.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, if you guys have any questions or any comments, if you think I screwed up at my meeting today, please tweet at us or send us an email.
Okay. Oh, before we jump into the interview, guys, one quick little note. I only had one microphone for this interview. It was a crazy day. I had driven back and forth a couple times. I'd forgotten numerous things that day. Albert, this was the day that I came to work in totally like street clothes. And I forgot the charger for one of our mixer boards. So I only had one mic. So what happened was it was very awkward. And I just kind of let Brian do most of the talking. So there are parts of this interview where it's going to sound like he's kind of just talking to himself. Know that I was in the room and I was trying to do an interview, but he also has so much good information that I just kind of let him roll and do his thing. So let's jump in. Okay, guys, welcome back. I'm sitting here with Brian Vermeer. He is the creator and founder of Holden Log and Performer Track. And I'm really excited to be sitting here with Brian because not only is he a very cool guy, but he's got some very neat ideas about the industry and how actors work and lots of cool stuff like that. So thank you for being here, Brian.
Thanks for saying I'm a cool guy. Actually, that's one of the best intros. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So, Brian... you created Performer Track. That's actually how I met you. I met you through a teleseminar phone call.
where I learned about Performer Track, and then I signed up for a year of it, and then I came to one of your seminars, and we had a really interesting conversation after the seminar, which I want to talk about. But you're also an actor, so how did you get started with all this? I mean, where are you from?
Way long ago. No, I'm actually an East Coast guy. I was raised in New Jersey, went to college at Emerson College in Boston, and that was really where things started to take off. Ended up hosting my shows in college, and then was seen by Vindabona Productions. People may know that name from shows like America's Funniest Home Videos and whatnot. And so I ended up hosting shows out here for him, and so that was like my start of, you know, really doing the LA thing was, coming out here and hosting shows. And I ended up doing game show kind of stuff. And I wasn't sure if that's really what I wanted to do, spin the wheel for the rest of my life, kind of, you know, buying vowels. I didn't know if that's where it was at for me. And I ended up booking, a lead role in a film, that had me, outside the, in the outskirts of Chicago for, a good long month or so. And it was a really great experience. That was the bug that bit me. And I had no formal acting training. And this was like a serious movie. And prior to this, man, I was just doing comedy and all that. So it was interesting. I booked the gig it was a really good part. And the film ended up winning festivals and whatnot, and so it was at that point I was like, you know, I better take some classes here because I'm fooling a lot of people. So I ended up doing Meisner for 2 years. So I really rooted myself in theatrical training. So I really got like serious and I did that whole thing. And next thing you know, I started getting back into comedy and doing stand-up over at the Comedy Store. And now it looks like more hosting is ahead. And so it's funny how the wheel kind of spun right back and hit me square in the face again. So it's an interesting cycle that my career as a performer is going through. But the whole company and why it came about really stemmed out of my own non-understanding as to what really a performer needs to do in this business. You know, we're so caught up in getting the craft, learning the craft, and being great performers, and just doing it, just getting, you know, just dirty with the acting techniques and whatever it is that we can do to be the best performers. And that's so understandable because as an artist, it is that's the fun, is the creativity, the creating, the becoming the character, the doing, but that can only take you so far. And it's really tough, especially now. I think in this stage of my career, I'm seeing so many good performers go home. Oh, it's heart-wrenching to see. You know, you can only lead a horse to water, you know, kind of thing going on. And so it's kind of a crusade for myself and for others that work at our company. You know, when you understand what we do, and as a performer, when you apply it to your business as a performer, then there's no turning back. You totally now, I think, see the business completely differently than most performers do.
So what was it in your career that prompted you to be like, wow, I need some sort of tool to really kind of track how this is working?
I think for me, because I'm very, you know, I am analytical. You know, I've got a weird mind going on because I'm very creative, but at the same time, I like to understand the process. And to give you a point, because I had no, when I booked that movie role and it was a drama, you know, comedy comes easy for me, but drama was like, okay, I got the job. I did great auditioning, got a call back, you know, did all that. But for me, I was like, I have to understand this process. And I was going through the script. This is kind of funny, just to give you where my head is at.
Yeah.
When I was on the plane flying to Chicago to do this movie, I was going through the script and to to try to understand where my emotion should be for scenes. I was creating like charts, like emotional charts and stuff. And no one taught me how to do this. I was just like, it was like, you know, trial by fire. I was jumping in the flames. So I was, you know, trying without freaking out. I was like, let me be very systematic about this. Let me take this script. I'm going to have the neutral level of emotion. And, you know, let's see where these scenes take me. And so I had my emotional highs and lows, and I was breaking these scenes down. I'll go, oh, you know, I'll be like this in this scene. And then here I'll be very, you know, dark. And, you know, so by creating these emotional charts, I thought I was somehow, you know, now this grand thespian. I knew what it was like to be an actor. Had no idea. But I did it though. And so in doing that, you know, I was like, I knew after I did the movie, I was like, this is, you know, I want to do this. I like this, you know, it's kind of cool. And so then I said, I've got to find real training. So when I did the whole Meisner thing, there was no emotional charts. There was nothing like that. A lot of repetition, but no emotional charts. So I got a level of understanding as to what truly acting is all about. And, so that analytical side, to make the long story short, it was then, you know, I was going out for auditions, and even for auditions for hosting stuff and everything. There was never an understanding as to, you know, how the audition process was supposed to go. I'm somebody who likes to go do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, result. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the world of acting, I would go to class and I was taught, just go to the audition and then forget it ever happened. This is what I was always taught.
Yeah.
Even at my, just go to the audition, then just get it out of your mind. And
well, that's what I do, actually. I still do that because
it's horrible.
It's hard to hold on to something.
No.
You have no idea if you're going to hear it.
No. See, that's a problem with performers is the emotional investment in it.
Okay, good. Here we go.
No, you got to get rid of the emotional investment. It's not emotional. This is business. So I didn't, and still this day, you know, when performers are told, go to the audition and then forget it ever happened, that is damaging to your career. Because, you know, you're sitting here going, well, I don't want to bruise my ego and I don't want to think about it night and day, you know, and that's not the point. Every time you go to an audition, every time you go out for a role, you have got to understand and learn from it. And the only way you can understand what works auditioning, what doesn't work, what, you know, what's going on with you is to really lay out what's going on at these auditions and putting down who you're meeting, what you're wearing, what's happening, what happens in the room, really tearing those auditions apart, breaking it down so you can understand your trends at auditions, so you can understand what they're telling you. It is amazing the information that you can get out of just 20 auditions and going, whoa, wait, so when this happens, this is what happens typically, or this is what I do, and then this is usually the result. You know, you have got to be results driven in this business. I mean, quite literally, you know, we have got to, as performers, run our business of us, of you, of me. We have got to run our company and sell our product of ourselves and do it effectively, efficiently, smartly. You know, we have got to be smart when we audition. We have got to be smart when we book a job. We have got to be smart and staying connected with those who call us in for auditions. We got to stay connected with those who we work with on set all the time. I mean, that's what makes a career. I think a lot of people are losing sight that this is a relationship business. And you know, what relationships they have got to keep going and, you know, and keep them abreast of what you're doing constantly, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Dead contacts will never turn into connections.
It's what they call the elusive obvious. This is one of those things that seems so apparent to anybody who's trying to make money doing anything to track your results. But so few actors think this way. So, like, what was the switch for you that made you think, like, made you make the transition from, I need to just forget about that audition, to I need to see what worked about this audition and what didn't? Because it's sad, but there aren't a lot of actors out there who do think that way.
Because I was always asking questions. I remember being very frustrated with some representation I had early on. Going in, trying to take a meeting, you know, what's going on? I want to move my career forward. It's not moving fast enough. What's going on? Why isn't this working? You know, oh, don't rush things. Don't rush, you know, that whole thing. And it's like, what are you talking about? This is my business. What happens is the creative, you know, those who are creative doing the business part of this business is horrible. I don't want to do that. Why do I want to do? I'm a performer, you know. That's why I have an agent. That's why I have a manager. You know, if we were business minded people, we wouldn't be artists, would we? We wouldn't be creators. But to really make it in this business, you have got to be a master of both.
And that probably, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but probably makes a huge difference in how an actor walks into a room. You know, like when you walk into a room with just your audition that you've prepared on one level or another, and that's it, that's the only way that you're kind of being evaluated, so to speak, I think that's probably pretty scary. But if you walk in knowing that you're running the business, that you've got connections, you know, that whole other level of confidence that comes with just kind of not just being an artist that's seeking approval, but knowing that you've got A, B, and C concrete to back it up. I bet that makes a huge difference. And I bet casting directors and managers and agents and all these people, they can sense that and they see it, that this is someone who's a professional.
No, it's the game changer. And this is true with all performers, by the way, musicians, dancers, singers, I mean, everybody. You know?
Which is great, because this podcast is not, I mean, we're actor-centric, but it expands. And actually, I wanted to ask you about that later, how a performer track applies to other performers.
I want all of you listening now to my deep, dark voice here. When you operate with no target as a performer, and some of you listening right now, you know, I hope you can appreciate this because you may be in this position right now. So just, you know, perk up. If you operate without a target, there's no chance that you're ever going to really make it in this business. All of you picture yourselves as archers, okay? And you have a bow in your hand and you have a basket full of quivers resting next to your feet. And when you have no target, and you just start firing arrows as a performer all over the place, hoping something will stick, hoping something will land, you're in big trouble. So when you keep firing arrows, and by the way, by firing arrows, I mean doing things as a performer you think are getting you somewhere. Things like, oh, I'm clicking and submitting for projects. I'm clicking and submitting for projects. I'm clicking and submitting. I'm submitting. I got new postcards. I'm sending them out. I'm sending postcards. I'm going to class. Firing arrows. You keep doing this, and you have no target to measure where those arrows are going, and you just hope something's going to stick. What you end up doing, your arm gets tired, you put down the bow, you walk away. And I don't blame you either, because you can only keep doing it for so long until you're just like, man, I'm not even seeing any results. And as humans, and there's no way around this, you artists, don't you eventually want to start seeing results in this business? Don't you want to start seeing that things are actually going your way, that you're actually like seeing a pattern of success that you're building upon? By the way, there's an ugly word for that. Doing, firing arrows. This word has infiltrated our business as performers. Proactive. Proactive is doing. Here's the word you want. Productive. Proactive is busy work. I want to be productive. I'd rather do 4 amazing good jobs during the course of a year than 40 jobs that really never got me anywhere.
This is actually a great segue, because the other thing that I really wanted to talk about today was the conversation that you and I had after one of the seminars that I went to. You kind of gave me one of those red pill or blue pill conversations. What stops your agent from taking your reel, putting it on YouTube, and making a phone call and pitching you, you know, with that reel and your resume on your website? And I kind of just, I have to be honest, I walked away from that meeting and my brain was fried, and I took about 2 months to kind of get over that, and I became totally jaded. No, not in a bad way. I think it was necessary for me to kind of take the next step and evolve in my thinking about how this industry works, because I realized there are so many businesses out there. And I can think of a few that I won't name, but they're built to just completely take advantage of actors' naivete.
There's a lot you can do as a performer away from your computer. And here I am, the product that we have that is, you know, just phenomenal, PerformerTrack, is an online application. But get in it, then get out and start meeting people, start interacting with people. The fear that I have right now is there's too many services that are aiming their guns at performers, trying to sell them a bill of goods that here is the easy way. This business that we're in as performers is a relationship business. And these services keep putting out products that basically try to tell you, oh, we can do the work for you. Oh, we can do it for you. Oh, you know, we can you know, we have all the mailing labels. We have the addresses. We have this. We have that. We can mail it for you. You don't even have to do it. You know, it's like, wait, what? Huh? Yeah, I'm, what are you talking? Dude, you're, no, stop. There's a level at a lunacy here where you got to go, stop. How about you focus on the people who you know? How about you do the modicum of research online, find the actual addresses of where some of these casting directors are because they have websites. And trust me, these casting offices want to get the business of other productions so that they can make money casting projects. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you took the amount of time that you spend behind your computer every day thinking that you're doing something for your career, if you took that and you applied it to going out and networking and meeting with people. I mean, literally going out, researching people prior to meeting them and going to networking events that these people that you're targeting and going after. You know, if you spend the time going out and meeting people who know those people and getting, you know, start connecting dots to get there. After 2 months of doing that, do you think you'll be further along than the person who's still behind the computer doing things, right? Than the person who's, you know, out and about and meeting people? Performers have got to understand they have the most control in this business over everybody. Over everybody. There is no agents, no managers, no writers, no producers, no publicists, no directors, nobody who could do more for your business as a performer other than the person in the mirror, you. So if you have an agent that's asleep at the wheel, how do you get them excited about you? How do you get better agents as you're with one agent than you want to get a better agent, right? How many performers have you ever encountered where they said, yeah, I got an agent, and they were like, oh, but they suck, you know? This comes all down to the business side of it. You know, what do you know about your own career so that you can leverage your information to start moving your career forward? You know, and that's where the shame of this business are people who say, just go and audition, forget it ever happened. How about instead of being angry at your agent, you're excited to meet your agent? Because now what I think I'll do is I'm going to walk into my agent's, you know, office, request a meeting. And why don't I just have out in front of me my all of my auditions that you can print out from PerformerTrack. I'm just going to have them all out. I'll have some statistical numbers, have some numbers, and just be like, hey, so, yeah, Mr. Madam Agent, over the past 3 months, I've only been out X amount of times, and I was really expecting more from you guys. And so I was wondering, you know, what can I do to help you get me into more auditions? Because I've only had this amount in the past 3 months. You know, what can I do to help you get me out more? Wait for feedback. Do not fight with them. Listen to what they have to say because they're humans too and they don't want to hurt your feelings or whatever. Who cares? They may say, you know what? We think that your theatrical reel is not strong enough. Maybe you should go get a sizzle reel done. Maybe you should do this. Maybe you should, your technique for cold readings. Maybe you need to do this. You know, whatever. What's the feedback I'm getting from casting directors who I'm going in and reading for? What are you getting? You know, what can I do to help you? It's like that Jerry Maguire moment. Help me help you. You know, what can I do for you to move my career ahead? So if I just go to auditions and I forget they ever happened, and I go in to have a meeting and just complain that you're not getting me out enough, boy, isn't it more powerful to have documents and things laid out, going, okay, I went on this date to this person and went here. And but, you know, I hear this constantly from performers. Well, I have an agent who, and I'm covered across the board. They're covering me theatrically, commercially. I go, so how's that working for you? Well, you know, they're getting me out commercially, you know, but I'm not really getting out theatrically. Okay, what are you doing about it? I don't know. I don't want to get them upset because I don't want to lose them as an agent. I go, what do you mean lose them as an agent? What are you talking about? So wouldn't it be smart if you are tracking your auditions and you're able to lay this out and go, hey, in the past, 20 auditions I've had with you, I've gotten now, you know, 18 times commercially and only 2 times theatrically. Now, you know, now that I'm operating with a target, here we go back to the target. My bullseye is I want to do heavy drama work, you know, on film. That's really where I'm going. That's what I want to do. Thank you for getting me out commercially. And I booked a couple of things. That's cool. But we're lacking in the theatrical part of my business here. And so what can I do to help you change that so I can get out more in the next 20 auditions theatrically? What an amazing conversation I'm going to start here. Because they'll be like, whoa, yeah, you know, you're right. We haven't been getting you really out heavily. Hey, why don't we bring in the Bob from the theatrical department? Bob, come on in here. Bob, yeah, what's going on? Why? Well, I don't know. Maybe he needs better headshots because, you know, these aren't working for him. Blah, blah, blah. You know, you got to start the conversation to get at the root of the problem. Otherwise, you will be stuck in that problem forever. So if you're tracking your auditions through PerformerTrack, then
I think I actually heard you wink in the
I winked in the microphone. Ding. But wouldn't it be great if I want a better agent? What if I go to prospective agents and I say, you know what? Yeah, you know, I've gotten this many straight to producer sessions. I've read for these producers, name. These casting directors tend to call me in. These are the casting directors who tend to call me back most often. I tend to book these types of roles, these types of jobs. Here's my callback rate. Here's my booking rate. That agent that you're gunning for will have a heart attack because that's the kind of performer an agent wants to work with. Instead of walking into the office like 99% of the other performers do and say, do you have anybody that looks like me?
Now you're in that frame of mind. You walk into an audition with a new casting director you haven't met yet, and you're there to build a relationship.
Okay, so yeah, let me get to that now.
Yeah.
Okay. So now that we're angling for getting, you know, better agents, having your agents actually excited about working with you, not for you, with you, okay? Because you got to be working hard for yourself outside of agents. This whole sense of nervousness at auditions, it happens to all performers. Because if your knee-jerk reaction is to get to the material and get to what you have to prepare, I've got to learn those lines. I'm going to call my friend over. We're going to go over those lines. Oh my God. And when you put all of your eggs in the prepare basket, I can tell you that you've severely caused your chances of getting a call back, and you severely cut them down. I mean, like literally to a point where I can almost predict you won't get the call back when you put all of your energy in the script and in the sides and in the material. When you get called for an audition, when you get called for a project to come read for, don't look at the material. Don't look at the sides. Don't look at the material. It's so not important yet, because the problem is, when you just pour your energy into the script, you get to really, you know the script, you know it, you pour it, and you start, and you nail the audition. You nail the audition. You nail it in your bedroom, your bathroom, your kitchen, your living room,
your car,
in the hallway, in the car. I nailed the audition. Man, you should have seen me.
The acting I've done in car is just Oscar worthy.
You should have seen me on the balcony, man. I was nailing that audition.
Yeah.
But then when you walk into that audition space, the wheels fall off the bus. Clunk, clunk, clunk. You start getting nervous. When you get into the audition space, more important than the script or the text or the sides or anything like that is researching and knowing the person you're going to meet. And in PerformerTrack, and you know, again, I'll talk about it because this is what we do. In PerformerTrack, when you add a new contact, and I don't care when you're doing, whether it's an audition, whether it's for going to lunch with somebody, whether it's going to a networking event. When you enter a contact in, or you just simply click the info button to see the details you've already put in prior about that contact, there's an area that says, know before you go, with buttons that when you click on them, there's an IMDb button, Internet Movie Database. There is a Google button, a IBDB, which is Internet Broadway Database button, and a YouTube button. When I click on that button, it will search that person's name out on those services and start getting you now doing the research on the person. I want to learn everything I can about a person prior to meeting them. Go to your audition. I want to know, what do we have in common? Do I and this person that I'm about to go meet, do we have the same likes and dislikes? Do we have, are we part of the same networking circles? Do we go to the same college? You know, all of this stuff is huge. Because when I walk in the door for this audition and I go to meet this person that I don't know, having done all that research, I cannot wait to meet this person because I know everything that makes them tick. I probably know more about this person than that person actually knows about themselves.
And talk about how flattered they'll be that you took the time to do that.
Well, it's up to me whether or not I even talk about any of the stuff that I know about them. But the level of confidence that will ooze out of me when I step through that door and I go, hey, how are you? There's that familiarity because I've done the research. It's like, I already know you. Hey, good to see you. How are you? I don't have any questions. Maybe I don't elect to say anything. Maybe something comes up in a conversation and I can feed off of that information because I know something about them. So when I have that level of confidence and I have that, and I have then gotten to the prepare part of it, right, and done my homework as an artist on the fun part of preparing, man, I'm going to be so anchored when I walk in the door and I go, no, I don't have any questions. Let's do this. Yeah. I'm not nervous. I know this person. Let's do this. I'm ready to get – I can go into an audition expecting a callback because, you know, doing the research on the person and doing the research on the product – on the project or the product if it's a commercial. But doing the research and really understanding all of that prior to getting to what I have to prepare, the actual text of the script, man, I've increased my odds of getting a callback infinitum over everybody else going out for the same role as me. Everything you do with any contact within Performer Track, whether you audition for somebody, whether you follow up with them, whether you get a call back with them, whether you connect somebody as a cast and crew member to a project you booked, whether you go to lunch with somebody, you do a drop off, whatever it is that you do, make a phone call, whatever you do, every single contact within Performer Track has a history folder, and everything you ever interact with somebody automatically gets sent to that contact's history folder. So when I get called in by a casting director and I can see and I pull them from a drop-down list and I go, oh yeah, I've auditioned for them before, I'll go into that contact page within Performer Track. I'll click on their history button. I'll look at, when was the last time I auditioned for them? If you can quickly dial up all of the casting directors you've ever auditioned for, and times are a little slow, nobody's going out. Okay, blame gamer. Riddle me this. How about, what if you had the power through Performer Track to go in, look up all of your casting directors, go into each of their history folders. Why don't you look and see, when was the last time I auditioned for them? Oh, here's this casting director. Oh boy, it was 5 months ago since I've last auditioned for that casting director. Maybe I should send a postcard to them and I'll find their address online without buying a label to do it. Send them a postcard with my handwriting, real handwriting, and say, hey, Joe Smith, according to my Performer Track, I haven't seen you in 6 months or 5 months. How do we make that change? By the way, since the last 5 months I've seen you, I've done this. Check out my new reel here. Boom, done. Hope to see you soon. How about stirring the pot? How about making those contacts you have, turning them into connections so they go, yeah, you know, I haven't seen Trevor in a long time. Let's bring him in. That's what you have to do in this business. Out of sight, out of mind. And too many performers are just waiting for something to happen in their career, hoping, praying, something, please, today, will something change in my career? Will something happen? Please, God, please. No, you take the initiative. You tell them, hey, you haven't seen me in a long time. Let's make that change. You got to be the person who instigates the activity because they won't do it. And you cannot expect them to do it. So now that I've been tracking my auditions and I get called in by Joe Smith, the casting director, and I go into his history folder, and then I look and I go, oh, what happened? The last audition was 5 months ago. I'll click a link that'll take me back to that audition that happened 5 months ago. And I'll look at this audition that happened 5 months ago. I'm going to look at all the notes I put in there. Who was in the room? Who was there? Who checked me in? I am going to, when I walk through the door for that audition now, I'm going to make like that audition that happened 5 months ago happened yesterday. I will literally walk in the door and I will be looking for the person who checked me in 5 months ago. And I'll say, hey, Allison, good to see you again. How are you? No, things are great. Yeah, good to see you. Hey, Doug, who ran the camera that because I wrote the note down. I'll say, hey, is Doug here? I poke my head around the door. Hey, Doug, good to see you. I'll wave to him. You know, hey, right. Good. You know, you want to see the dynamic of a room change? Do that.
No, I love it. So if people want to learn more about, if you want to learn more about PerformerTrack and the various resources you guys have, where can they go?
Go to PerformerTrack.com. That's Performer. TRACK.com, Performer Track. You talk about an investment that pays for itself. If anybody's wondering, it's $119.40 for the entire year. And for those of you who are listening, I'm going to give you a coupon code. I'm so confident that this will, you know, change the way you run your business. $20 off. Use the promo code INSIDEACTING, all one word. That is my way of saying, do this, get out there, don't waste your time and make things happen in your career. So Inside Acting.
Great, Brian. Thank you so much. This was a fantastic interview, and I can tell you guys for sure that this was meeting Brian and then talking to him, and everybody at PerformerTrack loves to hear from you. So if you do check it out, make sure you get in touch with Brian and everybody else there. And I can tell you that this was a paradigm shift for me, hands down. So Brian, thank you so much for being here and taking the time.
You are welcome. Thank you.
Dude, that is the way that he talks is exactly, you know, what I was talking about with this manager I met with today.
Yeah. You know? Oh, he's total no BS.
No BS, but definitely knows what he's talking about. And, you know, you can't really argue with what he's saying. I mean, you know, right around, you know, there's a chance that you might disagree with certain approaches, but you can't really disagree with his examples and some of the more concrete pieces of advice, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's got some really, you guys should, everybody check out Performer Tracks and check out their website at performertrack.com. You can follow them on Twitter. Really, really, really career-changing stuff.
I'm very excited about this promo code because it's our first one.
I know.
So I'm really stoked about that.
Yeah.
So promo code is Inside Acting, all one word. Trev, I've been talking to you about Performer Track for a while now, and I've been interested in getting it myself. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what you and I have talked about and sort of the ways in which you use the software, maybe from your point of view, since it was, you know, he was talking about it in the interview, but maybe from, you know, from your point of view, how you use it as an actor.
Yeah, no, it's great. And what's cool is that it used to be called Actor Track and now it's called Performer Track because they wanted to make sure that they weren't
discriminating.
Thank you. They weren't discriminating against any other actors, or I'm sorry, other artists. But what it does is it allows you to track your career, track every little thing from what headshots are getting you into the room more, who you've met, have you followed up with them, how you met them. It's this incredible online database with this really kind of intricate user interface kind of plopped on top that just links everything together. So if you, let's say you're going for an audition, you can put in there what headshot you used to book the audition, what clothes you wore, who you met there, what was the name of the receptionist, what was the name of this person, what was the name of this person. You can actually look up a map to find out where it is, and it will automatically track your mileage for you. And then when tax time comes, you can just print out all your mileage that you put into there.
That's worth it right there.
It's incredible. And then, you know, when you follow up, you have their address, you pop in their information in there, you send them a thank you card or whatever, and you can also set up reminders to remind you, you know, to be in touch with them. And I mean, it's way too much for me to try and condense into 2 minutes here, but
no, that's a lot. That's a lot right there.
That's about all I got. Any final words, Albert, before we wrap
up?
No,
that's it. Make sure you're visiting the website. We're going to be adding more and more information there, not just the episodes, but links to stuff that we talk about on the podcast, mm-hmm. Links to people we talk about on the podcast, links to you know, what the people that we interview, what they got going on in their world. And you can also leave us comments there. So it's going to be a great resource for a lot of knowledge. And there's some things that I've got in the works to kind of add on to that. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Some of the digital actor stuff that, you know, will come later on down the line to the website.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks again, everybody, for tuning in for episode 3. My name is Trevor Elgott.
My name is Albert Meyer. You can follow me at twitter.com/digitalactor.
Always plugging the Twitter. And my name is Trevor Elgott. You can follow me online at Twitter. Hello, Trevor. Twitter.com/Trevor Elgott.
Please send us an email at insideactingpodcast@gmail.com or leave a comment for us on the website.
You can also subscribe on iTunes. You can leave us a glowing review on iTunes. We'd love you forever for that. And last but not least, click that donate button. This podcast will always be free, but it's not free for us to produce. So any amount that you can contribute would help keep us going and be very appreciated.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for listening.
All right, guys. See you next time.